Welcome to Cold Reads, episode 17. Cold Reads is a weekly podcast read by Nathaniel Tower. Each week, Nathaniel invites an author to send his or her wildest, funniest, most twisted story. Without reading the story ahead of time, Nathaniel records an audio version, trying to maintain his composure as the author takes the audience on a wild ride. Week 17 brings you Customs by Tad by Matthew Garuki. Customs by Tad was written for Aaron Dietz's superhero anthology project. For more information, visit timidpirate.com. Matthew Garuki is the editor-in-chief of the literary website Drunk Monkeys and a freelance fiction writer. His short stories have appeared in 5-to-1 Magazine, Connotation Press, Midwestern Gothic, The Weekenders, and will soon be featured at Bartleby Snopes. A West Coast native with Midwestern roots, he lives in North Hollywood with his wife, poet S.C. Stuckey, and their cats Lennon and Harrison. Drunk Monkeys is a part of the On Impression Network. For original short fiction, poetry, and essays, visit drunkmonkeys.omnipression.com. Customs by Tad by Matthew Garuki. It was January in suburbia. A thin layer of snow covered the ground. The skeletal arms of oak trees shuddered in icy northern winds. The block was silent and dark except for the light coming from the garage of the Bernard home, which cast the bizarre shadows of tiny headless figures onto the frozen driveway. The garage was home to Tad, the Bernard's eldest son. After high school, his parents had converted the garage into a studio apartment for him. Most of the studio was occupied by Tad's workbench, which was covered with razor blades, paint, and the disassembled parts of nearly 100 action figures. Though his parents remained skeptical, Tad was an entrepreneur, and something of a legend in the field of custom action figure building. Customs by Tad, his eBay store, had had a perfect customer satisfaction rating, and his custom figure of Eddie Brock transforming into Spider-Man's nemesis Venom had been the pick of the week on the website Costume Creatures. And yet, his enterprise was lonely, requiring long hours of isolation. He was a Michelangelo of models, but he longed to connect to the world outside his garage door. Late at night, surrounded by legless Hulks and headless Magnetos, he felt like a mad scientist. He was putting the finishing touches on a Spider-Man 2099 commission for a man in Indiana when he heard the rustling scrape of feet in the alley. He glanced at the window and saw four men in dark clothes and ski masks creeping past. He ducked under his bench and then shuffled to the door, waiting until they had passed before rising to see where they had gone. He watched as they turned left at the end of the alley toward the backyard of his elderly neighbor, Mrs. Simonson. Tad opened the side door and tiptoed through the snow. He poked his head around the back of the Simonson house and saw the men standing on the back porch. One of them was crouched by the doorknob, picking the lock. Tad ran as fast as he could back to his garage. The 20-yard sprint exhausted him. Panting, he picked up the phone to call the police. He dialed 911 and let it ring. As he waited, he caught a glimpse of himself in the mirror. There he stood, 35 years old, 320 pounds, with a 3-month growth of beard and Doritos dust on his fingertips. He was overcome with nostalgic guilt. What had he done with his life? He looked at a Superman poster on the wall beside his bench. He was everything that Tad couldn't be. Ramrod straight, unencumbered by scoliosis, and gallons of hanging fat, square-jawed and confident. Next to the Superman posted was a picture of Captain America, posed in the style of the old Uncle Sam Army recruiting poster. The distant Kryptonian regarded Tad with disdain, but Cap saw something in him. "I want you," the poster said. The emergency operator picked up, but Tad put the phone down. This was his moment. He scanned the room for weaponry. He considered his authentic replica of the Hanzo sword from Kill Bill, but no, he didn't want to escalate the situation if the man had guns. Oh boy, of course they had guns, and they were thin and quick. He needed weapons that would make him make speed a non-factor. He ran into the house, into his childhood bedroom, where most of his memorabilia was stored, in spite of his mother's repeated requests to turn it into a sewing room. He had two replica Captain America shields. One was the original Cap shield with long vertical red and white stripes, but he couldn't use that one. It was signed by Joe Simon himself. He grabbed his other shield, a round one with the colors of the American flag forming a target. He tested the weight. It was heavy enough to do damage, but light enough to throw. Good enough for one villain, but not for four. He needed more gear. He threw open the closet door. Stacks of long-forgotten comics fell into his onto his head. He rummaged through the pile, and at the very back he found Myanmar, the Hammer of Thor. It was a sturdy piece, manufactured by the very best replica company in America. It had cost him over $300, a price that now seemed appropriate. He picked it up and felt its deadly weight in his hands. It was perfect. He was wasting time. Surely the robbers had already found poor Mrs. Simonson and were having their disgusting way with her. He was about to rush to her aid when he caught a glimpse of his first custom figure, Ben Reilly, the Scarlet Spider from the Spider-Man clone saga. He remembered how much time he'd spent on it, all the times he nicked his fingertips with his razors, trying to get every detail of the lean jacket and the elongated mask just right. Masks, he thought. Every superhero needs a mask. He grabbed a cheap Iron Man mask that he'd bought for Halloween and put it on. It wasn't as sturdy as his other tools, and his beard protruded from underneath by a half a foot. But it did what he needed it to do. It diminished his field of vision dramatically, but it didn't matter. He felt powerful. He ran out of the front door to Mrs. Simonson's backyard and kicked open her door. He heard muffled voices from upstairs and charged toward them. By the time he had reached the top landing, he was taking rough gasps of air. One of the robbers stood guard there. He managed to say, "What the f—" before he was interrupted by one fierce swing of the Hammer of Asgard. He collapsed to the ground. Thrilled by success and fueled by adrenaline, Tad ran toward the sounds of struggle coming from the bedroom. He stood tall in the doorway, his hammer cradled in one mighty fist, and surveyed the scene. Old Mrs. Simonson was tied to a chair in the middle of the room. One thief stood with a gun to her head while two others tossed jewelry into hefty bags. The thief, who had the gun on the old woman, lowered his jaw and his weapon in shock. Tad seized the moment, flinging Captain America's vibranium shield at his midsection. The shield slammed hard into the man's ribs, and he fell to the floor, gasping for air. The thief nearest Tad advanced toward him, but he was laid flat by one powerful swing of Mjolnir. He knelt down by the old woman to pick up his shield. "Don't worry, Mrs. Simonson. It's me, Tad." "Theodore?" the old woman said before passing out. Tad picked up the shield as the remaining robber raised his gun and fired. Tad ducked behind the shield and deflected the bullet, then rose to his feet and barreled toward the crook with Cap's shield leading the way, ramming him with the full force of 320 pounds of Funyuns and Slurpees. They slammed into Mrs. Simonson's flowery wallpaper together, and the thief fell to the ground unconscious. Tad ran to Mrs. Simonson and began to untie her. Because of his mask, Tad never saw the lamp that broke over his head. He landed in the aquamarine shag carpet and received the worst beating of his life. His last thought, as he heard the sound of approaching sirens, was that he had saved the day. Tad was in the hospital for 2 weeks. The robbers had beaten him severely, breaking most of his ribs and bruising his organs. The doctor explained to him that if he had not had extra layers of fat in his midsection, that repeated stomping would almost certainly have ruptured his spleen. Of course, he was careful to add, "You really should try to lose weight." Tad said he'd get right on it. The local newspaper came to the garage to interview Tad in what they called his secret hideout. They even took a photo of him in his wheelchair holding Mjolnir aloft in triumph. Everyone proclaimed him a true hero. Tad spent hours reading the article. He cut out the photo and pinned it above his workbench next to the Captain America poster. He wheeled over to his workbench and sorted through legs and torsos to begin his new project. It wouldn't be a difficult assignment. He had dozens of Iron Man heads and cap shields, and he could snag a beard from one of the Odin or Gandalf figures he had lying around. The body, he lamented, would have to come from his Marvel Legends blob. But maybe, he thought, not in the second version. He checked his email inbox. There were hundreds of requests for what people online were calling the one-man Avengers. He cleared the empty Doritos bag from his bench and got to work. That was Customs by Tad by Matthew Garrucki. This concludes episode 17 of Cold Reads. I'll be back next week with another exciting and twisted story.